Brisbane, Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Burnett, hopping over there. Hey, smell that dairy air.
Every week at this time, we celebrate life in Wisconsin and talk about the activities and culture that we enjoy here. And I often ask you to tell me where to go for a special Wisconsin experience. This hour, it's a winter camping edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, January 23rd. Some of us hibernate in the winter. Some of us try to make the most of it. Others love winter and all it has to offer. We'll talk with a guest this hour who says if you're looking to get out of the house and experience a winter adventure and fun in Wisconsin's outdoors, you should consider winter camping. Have you tried this? Where do you like to go winter camping and what do you like about it? We'll get some advice to get started and hone our skills, and we'll welcome your questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Nick Bruins, a sales specialist in the camping department at REI in Madison. He teaches classes on winter camping and enjoys winter camping in parks across the state. Nick is teaching a class on winter camping at REI on January 28th, and we've posted information about that class on our Facebook page. Good morning, Nick.
Hi, Joy.
So I might need some convincing. What is there to like about winter camping?
Well, there's actually a ton to enjoy about winter camping. First off, you have the same kind of beautiful natural environment that you have during the summer, but you get to avoid a lot of the pitfalls of camping. In Wisconsin, we have so many bugs throughout the winter, but once winter rolls around, they all disappear. So you have a completely bug-free experience.
No bugs, that's a plus.
Definitely. And it's always less crowded in the wintertime, so you can have a lot more of a solitude in your retreat.
Yeah, that's nice, because sometimes the certain campgrounds get super, super crowded. Is anybody going to be camping with me at a campground at a state park, for example?
It depends. There are definitely times where you'll run into other people, especially on the weekends, but if you're out in the middle of February, in the middle of the week, it's unlikely that you run into another person.
Mm-hmm. Well, what am I going to do? That sounds kind of lonely.
It's really nice to get out and explore the trails, see a different side of the state, something that you don't necessarily see in the summertime. It's a very different experience once the leaves fall and everything's coated in snow. And you can experience trails in different ways, too, with cross-country skiing and snowshoeing.
Well, what do you like to do when you're winter camping? And tell us a little bit about how you got involved in winter camping.
I pretty much just got involved in winter camping when I moved to Wisconsin. The summer season is shorter than I was used to, and I was missing the outdoors. And so I just decided to give it a try. I did a little more research, and the more I got into it, the more I enjoyed it, and it's actually my preferred type of camping now. I enjoy doing everything that I would normally do during the summertime, just sitting around the fire, cooking dinner, taking hikes through the woods, and in the wintertime, as I said, it's much quieter, more remote.
So it's also a lot colder.
It is, indeed. And it does take some special precautions because of that.
Well, let's talk some. I need special equipment if I'm going to go winter camping?
You don't need a ton of special equipment, but you should look at a few key pieces of gear to upgrade a normal camping outfit to a winter camping outfit. The most important thing is going to be your sleeping system. So that includes everything from your sleeping bag to your sleeping pads to your tent. First off, your sleeping bag should be one that is warmer than something you would use during the summertime. They have temperature ratings on them, and you want to have one that's rated at least 10 degrees below what you would expect your low temperature to be. For example, if you knew it was going to be 20 degrees in the evening, you should have a 10-degree sleeping bag.
Okay, all right. So that and sometimes, though, doesn't winter camping get way below zero?
It definitely does. And there are bags out there that are rated to much, much lower temperatures, and an addition of a sleeping bag liner can increase the temperature rating of that.
Mm-hmm. So do I risk, though, hypothermia or something if I decide to? What if I have, a 0-degree sleeping bag and it's going to get below zero?
If you have a 0-degree sleeping bag and it's going to get to below zero, you're definitely risking hypothermia. It's definitely important to check your weather reports before you go out in the winter. Always before you go out in the woods, you should check the weather, but specifically in the winter because it can be quite dangerous if you aren't prepared.
I'm taking it that you have some warm PJs, too.
You do to a degree. Wearing too much clothing in your sleeping bag can actually have a negative effect. It can compress the insulation in the sleeping bag from the inside out, so you don't want to be too bulky. But having a thick pair of long underwear base layer is absolutely important, as well as thick wool socks and a hat.
Mm-hmm. And that hat is important because of that heat escaping my head?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's also going to be the only opening in your sleeping bag. The sleeping bags designed for the winter are built with hoods, so they cover the top of your head. They cinch down around your face, but that is the only opening, so you definitely want to make sure you have your head covered up inside.
Those thermal underwear, I presume that's an important item to have if you're going to go winter camping, even for during the day.
Absolutely. That's something you'd be wearing throughout the day and throughout the evening.
Yeah. Well, is there any other special gear for cold weather camping?
Yes. So I mentioned that you need a tent designed for the winter, and they do make winter tents. Winter tents are going to have a lot less mesh on the interior wall than you see in your standard summer tent, and that's limiting the amount of air that escapes. However, those winter tents always will have vents built into them, because if you seal yourself up completely, the moisture from your breath creates condensation, and it turns to snow on the inside of the tent wall.
Oh, my goodness. So we don't want to do. Can we use our winter tent in the summer too, or not?
You could if the weather were cool enough. Typically, though, it's going to be stifling. You want more airflow in the summer.
Okay, all right. So we want our winter tent. We want our warm winter sleeping bag. We want a hat and wool socks and some good long underwear. Anything else?
Yes. Most importantly, you want to make sure that you have two sleeping pads underneath you, two full-length ones. You're going to lose a lot more heat to the ground while you're sleeping than you do to any cold air circulating around you. That conduction factor for the heat transmission is just way, way, way too high. And having two sleeping pads will insulate you further. So you should have a closed cell, think like the old blue roll-up foam mats on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and a self-inflating or an insulated air pad on top.
Great. And I'm sorry, Nick, I think I mispronounced your name. It's Bruns?
It's Bruns, yes.
I apologize.
No, it's fine.
We are talking with Nick Bruns. He is with REI. He teaches classes on winter camping, and he enjoys winter camping. And we're wondering if you do, too. Do you like to go winter camping, or would you even consider going winter camping? Tell us about any winter camping experiences that you may have had, or your questions about how to do this safely. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, we've talked some about gear that we want to have with us to keep us warm. What about cooking gear? Anything different?
There is. With cooking gear, there's a number of different stove styles that you can use when you're camping. There are different fuel types, and the specific fuel type that you choose should be one that is geared towards winter use. Now, when you're looking at the fuel types, there are a few different choices. Primarily, you will see propane stoves. Think your large Coleman camping stoves. There are liquid fuel stoves that you pressurize with a pump, and then there are canister stoves. The canister stoves are the ones that you'll want to avoid in very cold weather because they're running primarily on a fuel called isobutane, and the boiling point of that is too high to be effective in cold weather.
Mm-hmm. And is there any, do you have different experiences in terms of what you cook if you're winter camping?
I typically cook all the same things and just know that it's going to take a little longer for everything to cook if it's 10 degrees, 0 degrees, or below outside.
Yeah. I'm wondering, in the minute we have before our first news break, whether we should get all this stuff and just go head out into some state park, or if there's a way to have a trial run.
Well, the state parks actually make pretty good trial runs, especially if you pick one that's close to home. The really nice thing about having a drive-in campsite is that you can always test it out, and if it ends up just being too cold, too much, or just not as much fun as you thought, there's always the opportunity to turn around and come back another day.
Well, we will talk more about what we need to know to go winter camping, and we welcome any experiences that you have had winter camping. This is a winter camping edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Also looking for some of your favorite places to go winter camping. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Nick Bruns, who is a sales specialist in the camping department at REI in Madison. We'll talk more after this news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Carter, Slade's, Carter's, Abel's, Carter's, Newbrook, Carter's, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy.
This is a winter camping edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, and today I want you to tell me where to go winter camping. Talking with Nick Bruns, who is a sales specialist in the camping department at REI in Madison. He teaches classes on winter camping and enjoys winter camping. And we wonder what questions you have or what experiences you'd like to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Jim in Tomahawk is with us first. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. You like to winter camp?
Yeah, I love it. I have kids now, so I don't get to go out too much. But last time I was winter camping was 2 years ago before my son was born. So.
Oh, so where do you go, and why do you like it?
Superior National Forest. There's two reasons. You get the feeling like you're almost invincible out there. I mean, a lot of people don't do this. You know, they just are too afraid, or they don't have the equipment. Like your gentleman had said, you know, I mean, it does take some specialized equipment. But the other reason is you can see so much more wildlife. I mean, there's just you can see into the woods farther, and you do have, like, this feeling of solidarity up there.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's the Lake Superior National Forest in Duluth?
Yeah. If you're a snowmobiler, they have trails that go through the National Forest, and they also have warming huts along the way. And so what I do is I just take my hammock and put that up along with a zero-degree sleeping bag and two mats, and I don't even use a tent. And so, yeah, we've gone snowmobiling and camped outside.
Oh, my goodness. In a hammock, Nick, have you done it that way?
I have not done it that way. I know there are people out there who do it, as we just heard.
Yeah.
It's definitely nice to have that warming hut option so you can do that. It's a unique way to get around doing the winter camping approach, but it's something I would suggest people do after they've tried a more traditional approach, because it does leave a slimmer margin for error.
Yeah, and this is something you might want to leave the kids at home for, Nick?
Especially if they're very young, yes. Mm-hmm. The children definitely have a harder time not only recognizing but expressing the coldness as it sets into them. Adults mm-hmm. have a hard enough time recognizing hypothermia, children even more so.
Yeah. And do you agree with that, I guess that feeling that Jim has of solitude and almost invincibility and to see so much more wildlife and nature when you're out there?
Absolutely. You feel so much more connected. You can just experience so much more. He's absolutely right about being able to see so much more while you're out there in the winter.
Yeah. So what are some places, where do you like to winter camp? What are some of your favorite places?
Well, one of my favorite parks to go to is Wyalusing State Park.
Oh, yeah. And I love it in the summer.
It is great in the summer. And in the wintertime, being able to look down at the Wisconsin River meeting the Mississippi River and just ice flows crashing into each other.
Oh.
You can see back into the hills for miles, too. It is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere else?
Another one of my favorites is the Kettle Moraine State Forest. That has got some absolutely beautiful trails back there, and that's a nice one to get a little more off the beaten path. They have hiking trails and backpacking huts along the Ice Age Trail through there.
Very neat. Eric on Facebook says, I've gone to the Pinoki Mountains Heritage Park near Upson, Wisconsin. I stayed in a wigwam there at minus 28 degrees. Frozen waterfalls, forests by day, give way to beautiful skies at night. Well, that sounds appealing.
Absolutely does.
A wigwam. How about that?
There are some very interesting winter structures out there that you can that are somewhat mobile. You can move around with a little bit, and there are places that have them set up in the wintertime, and they can even set up stoves inside of these more robust structures that'll heat the inside. So it's quite a wonderful experience.
Wonderful. And I guess thinking about that, the skies at night must be, especially in northern Wisconsin, I say that only because I'm thinking of northern lights, that must be spectacular.
Oh, yeah, especially with the drop in humidity, the skies get much more clear. And at night with a cloudless sky, it can be stunning.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about different structures that we can sleep in, and you know, hammocks and wigwams, and you're recommending this winter camping tent. Are there any tips to setting up a tent in the winter?
Do it in stages. Usually when you're setting up your tent, it's going to be fairly cold in the wintertime. What I recommend is using a two-part hand protection system, basically. You want to have large, warm, thick mittens that are going to keep your hands warm. But underneath that, you want to have some kind of flexible glove that allows you to have dexterity. The reason it's important to have that glove is that you've got a protection between your bare skin and the tent components as you're setting it up, because typically the things like the aluminum poles and the snaps are going to be quite cold. So you want to not touch those with your bare skin. And if it's too cold, I'll do it in stages. I'll set up one part of the tent, the next part allowing me to put my hands back in the mittens in between and rewarm them.
Mm-hmm. Any considerations when choosing a spot to set up camp?
If the weather's good, wherever pleases you, really. You may want to look at the leeward side of a hill if there is some kind of a storm coming in, just so that you're out of the direct path of the storm. In addition to that, if you do get caught out and there is some heavy snowfall, you'll want to consider how much snow is coming down, as well as how much clearance the fly in your tent has from the ground. It is possible, if you don't have proper ventilation at the top of your tent, or if there's enough snow to cover the vents at the top of the tent, that you'll have to get up in the night and clear those, because otherwise you can have dangerous buildup inside, a lack of oxygen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm wondering about just with all the snow around. I mean, nobody's going to come plow you out, or nobody's going to plow a walk to your. In terms of that, do you have to worry about, how do you deal with the snow that exists even without a snowstorm?
The snow that's already there?
Yeah.
As far as getting there to your campsite, if you're just using a drive up, that's pretty easy. Or if you're hiking back in, you may end up using cross-country skis or snowshoes to get to your site. And once you're there, the snow is actually a nice thing, because you can shape it out to create areas. If it's deep enough, you can even use snow shovels and snow saws to cut yourself out a little kitchen area out of the wind. But you can tamp down a nice platform for your tent, so you have a very smooth surface, something that can be hard to find in the summertime. And the snow will act as an insulator as well. So.
Very nice. Let's go back to the phones. Fran in Onalaska is with us. Hello, Fran.
Hi. You caught my attention this morning. It's been a long time since I've gone winter camping, but I'd like to share that I went to the Sylvania Recreation Area in northern Wisconsin quite a few years ago, and we had a lot of snow, and there were about a group of 12 people with UWL and the recreation department. And we actually cross-country skied in with sleds behind us and our backpacks. And we took shovels, plastic shovels on the sleds. And we went in, lots of trails up there in the Sylvania Recreation Area. And we actually built, four quinchies with three people inside. And what you do is, you build up a great big giant pile of snow and you let the snow sink there, meaning that the snow crystals actually mesh together for about 2 hours. And actually at the same time, what we did was we put, pieces of, sticks about a foot long into the snow pile. And then we started to dig out the snow pile. And when you got to the bottom of the stick, then you knew that you had gone too far.
Oh, my goodness.
Had gone far enough.
Fran, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just... So you were essentially... I missed the word you used. You were essentially sleeping in snow caves?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Quinchies.
Oh, my goodness. How adventurous.
Yeah. And for 3 nights, we did that, and it was really interesting. We had our winter sleeping bags, and we would take our water in and put our water into our sleeping bags so our water didn't freeze. And then we would cut out, like, little shelves inside, and we could put our little candles in there so that we could see. The only problem was that as the 3 days went on, the quinchy, the roof of it would start to go further and further down.
That's kind of scary.
Well, just because it was kind of melting, and I don't know, maybe your guest could tell us exactly what was happening. Then what we did also was we had a great big campfire all day long and a big pot of boiling water. And when we ate, we had brought together our meals in plastic bags, frozen, pre-prepared, and then we just put them in the boiling water.
Gosh, does that sound adventurous and exciting? And I like the idea that you were with other people and other people who knew what they were doing. That I might be able to handle that. I don't know if I could handle sleeping in a snow cave, but it sounds very exciting. Nick, what do you have to say about that?
It's a really cool way to do it. The quinchies she's talking about are a very, very effective way to camp in the backcountry. It's a nice thing because it means you don't have to carry a shelter. And as I mentioned earlier, the snow is a great insulator. So it can get, especially with a candle inside, it can get up to 30 degrees sometimes inside of those quinchies, and they're really, really effective. They do take some time to build, but they're a comfortable way to do it.
And when she mentioned the water, that is your water will freeze unless you do something.
It absolutely will. It's definitely a consideration to make. Going to bed at night, heating your water on the stove, putting it into your water bottle, and putting it in your sleeping bag. Not only gives you a hot water bottle, but liquid water in the morning.
Very nice. And how about the boil the dinner in the bag idea?
Yeah, no, it's a great way to do it. It absolutely is. It cuts down on cook time and hassle, and the one-bag meal method is becoming really popular. It's very, very efficient.
Yeah, and I thought that sounded so cool, too, that they went in on cross-country skis, and they apparently had, sleds attached to themselves, and they were kind of hauling their stuff on the sled?
Yep, they're called pulk sleds. There's a lot of different styles out there, but the general idea is you have a sled that is attached to you by poles to your waist. And you need the poles because you want the rigid attachment so that as you turn, it turns with you. And as you go downhill, the sled doesn't run into the back of your skis, but you pull most of your weight there. And that is a really nice thing because the skis are sized based on your weight. And the more weight you add to your back in the form of a backpack, the larger the skis you need. If you can transfer that weight behind you, you can use your normal length skis.
Well, this is, and Fran, are you still there?
I am.
So tell me how you felt after you did this. Was it a great feeling of accomplishment, or and what did you like about the actual experience? Or was it harder than you thought it was going to be?
Oh no, it was really wonderful and great group of people. And then during the daytime, we just there's so many trails up there that we just skied all around and came back together whenever you wanted to. And you just had to be careful when you were sitting around the campfire at night that you didn't get your boots too close
because they got too hot.
Yeah, but it was great fun. And another thing we took along too for the campfire was we had like potatoes with Reynolds wrap around them, you know, and you could bake them real easily in the fire too.
Yeah, so very, very, very neat. And I think that's you said you went through the University of Wisconsin La Crosse kind of spearheaded this. Uh huh. What a great idea.
Actually, the gentleman that was out there at that time, his name was Mike Kinzinger. And he left and went out to Moscow, Idaho, and has since retired. And he's done lots and lots and lots of outdoor trips. Yeah. And he kind of instigated me and I did quite a few other things after that.
Sounds great, Fran. Thanks so much for sharing that experience. Nick, do you lead expeditions into the woods?
For my friends, I do occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would think that for a brand, you know, a complete novice, going along with an expert is not a bad idea. Are you aware if there are these types of I don't know, maybe even university led or type of expeditions?
I'm not personally aware of any specific programs. I know that the UW Hoofers in Madison, locally here to where I am, does a number of outdoor activities and outdoor expeditions. As far as what they have for winter camping, I'm not sure, but I think they would be a good resource to look into.
Yeah. Let's go to Joe in Lake Geneva next. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I said a couple of tips. One was, one key I found is, you have the right proper boots and socks, you're good to go. But in the evening, if your feet get cold, you'd be miserable. So I used to bring, this will bring back memories, is moon boots, because they're not good to hike in, but in the evening they're very warm.
Oh.
Of course, now you got down moccasins and stuff. But it's critical. I found it's critical at night. If your feet get cold, you can just be miserable. And then one other thing too was sleeping bags. I double up sleeping bags. Like the man mentioned was you can get liners and things, but I found too that I put two sleeping bags together, you know, one over the other if it's big enough, and I'm good to go.
Very good. And Joe, so it's been a while since you've done this.
Oh yeah, when I went to school in Minnesota, we used to go up to the Boundary Waters in the winter when you know, no one's there, and like the snow too. You know, deep, you go as far as you can. You know, there's less snow, you go in farther. If not, you go as far as you can. You set up camp and. Same thing, like everyone said, it's just gorgeous and quiet, and get the place to yourself.
Sounds nice, especially if you keep your feet warm, Nick.
Absolutely, absolutely. The down booties he mentioned are a great way to keep your feet warm in camp. Anytime that you stop moving, you are going to have a drop in your body temperature. So while you're walking around and doing things during the day, you may be quite warm, but come setting up camp in the evening, it does start to cool down.
Well, we're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll be back talking with Nick Bruns, who is a sales specialist in the camping department at REI in Madison. He teaches classes on winter camping. He also enjoys winter camping in parks across the state. He's teaching a class on winter camping at REI on January 28th. We've posted information about that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, I am asking you to tell me where and why you winter camp. And if you have any questions or your own tips that you'd like to share about winter camping, we welcome those too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you enjoy about winter camping? What do you want to know about winter camping? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Woodford, Westfield, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Burnett, hopping over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
Brisbane, Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Vernon.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy here, hey.
This is a winter camping edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every week at this time, we celebrate life in Wisconsin and talk about the different and many activities and culture that we can enjoy in the state of Wisconsin. And I ask you to tell me where to go for a special Wisconsin experience. And today, it is winter camping. We are talking with a guest this hour who says that if you're looking to get out of the house, experience winter adventure and fun in Wisconsin's outdoors, you should consider winter camping. And we wonder if you have. Where do you like to go winter camping? What do you like about it? What questions do you have if you're new to this? Or what tips have you discovered if you've done it before? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Nick Bruns, who is with REI in Madison. He teaches classes on winter camping and enjoys winter camping as well. Nick, I was going to ask you, where's your next winter camping adventure?
The next one I have planned is actually up to the Boundary Waters.
Oh, wow. Have you done that before?
I have not, so this will be a first.
Yeah, and so how long, and what do you think you're going to be doing?
Looking probably about 5 days, and as one of the previous callers mentioned, we're actually planning on going up and building Queen Seas. We're going to take all of our gear in by Polk sled on skis, and I think we're going to be building Queen Seas in the backcountry.
Exciting. Well, speaking of Boundary Waters, Jamie in Eagle River is with us. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning, Joy and Nick.
Good morning. So you have done the winter camping thing in the Boundary Waters.
Yes, several times. A couple friends and I, we tried to make a tradition out of it, and one of the things that we've done is we've actually rented, it's like a 12-by-14 canvas tent, and it has a titanium wood-burning stove that goes along with it. It's like a little package and a sled, and we've rented it from an outfitter out of Duluth and also one up in Ely, and it just makes the whole experience way more enjoyable and doable, because you can go out, you know, do some orienteering or ice fishing or whatever, snowshoeing, whatever you feel like doing, and come back. You can really come back to a warm tent eventually. You can cook on it and dry your stuff out for the next day. It's actually really enjoyable.
Wow. So you're kind of in luxury even.
Yeah. And one of the beautiful things about Boundary Waters camping is, you know, a lot of times the only motorized vehicle that you hear for a week, it might be a jet flying overhead.
Yeah, very quiet. And 12 by 14, I'm trying to envision that, but that's larger than your average tent, Nick.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Those canvas tents usually are quite large, but they do have that added luxury of being able to put in the wood stove for the heat, which is a nice feature.
Yeah, and is there some reason why it should be titanium?
Well, the titanium is very light. That's the reason there.
Oh, okay. All right, but well, you're gonna be roughing it a lot more than that, though, when you go.
That's the intent.
Well, you know what, Jamie, thank you very much. I also see that you experienced some rather chilly weather when you were on your expeditions there.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about having the tent. I know, you know, some people might poo-poo it just because it's, you know, you're living in luxury a little bit. But one time we were up there, the temps got down to like negative 40, and, you know, just not having to scrap our vacation camp that we planned for a year due to Mother Nature is kind of a nice feature of that tent.
Oh, I'm certainly not poo-pooing it, that's for sure. Minus 40. So that's one of the benefits there, is that they could continue on even though it was extremely cold, Nick.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Jamie, for sharing that. I was going to ask you about that. What if, you know, you check the weather It's wintertime, though. Sometimes, you know, extreme weather can pop up, or, you know, some sort of snowstorm can happen that was not predicted. How do you recommend dealing with, you know, extreme winter weather that you may not have prepared for?
Well, initially, just taking what equipment skills you have and seeing if you can make it work. The important thing is recognizing that the risks are a lot higher in the wintertime. And so if you realize that you get to a point where you don't have the gear, equipment, or experience necessary to deal with the situation you're in, is to turn around and head home. If you have got yourself removed from an easy exit point, then you will have to find some means to hunker down and wait it out. But leaving as soon as possible is going to be your best bet. It's always better to leave and come back another day.
Well, I'm sorry that we lost a caller who dropped off, who said that he camps with a group and all they use equipment from the year 1760. So apparently they try to really rough it with historical equipment. Oh my goodness. That being said, is there modern technology that might benefit our winter camping experience?
Well, I think that there definitely is. The titanium stove, the last caller we talked to mentioned, is one really good example. It allows you to take that heat into the backcountry in a very light way. And in addition to that, all the items I've mentioned so far have been drastically reduced in both size and weight due to modern technology. So the tents, the sleeping bags, all the materials going into them have gotten much lighter and smaller, which makes it easier to take them further into the backcountry.
Yeah, and will our cell phones work when we're out there?
It depends where you are. Mm-hmm. If you're in some of the state parks, they will if you have a cell phone tower nearby. But one thing to consider is that all of your electronics are going to have a drastically reduced operating time because the batteries won't operate as long in the cold.
Yeah, I suppose. But it's still, I guess, that's a nice safety feature to have. How about just having my car parked nearby?
Having your car parked nearby?
Yeah.
That's a great, great safety net. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to do that. So any last words of encouragement for those of us who still might be on the fence about winter camping?
Well, if you haven't made up your mind whether you'd like to try it or not yet, it's not the hardest thing in the world to do. If you go in with a little bit of knowledge, it can be a very, very fun experience. And as we've mentioned, if you do just have a car parked nearby, it's a great way to say, I've enjoyed what I've seen so far, but I'm ready to go home.
Well, I have enjoyed our talk. Thank you so much for being with us. Nick Bruns is a sales specialist in the camping department at REI in Madison. He teaches classes on winter camping and enjoys winter camping in parks across the state. And indeed, he will be teaching a winter camping class coming up on January 28th. We have posted information on that class on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We've also posted a page from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources about the many state parks in Wisconsin that offer winter camping experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Now it is time for Wisconsin Life. Love it or hate it, winter is unavoidable in Wisconsin. Commentator Wendy Lutzke learned to embrace the season, and she encourages you to do the same.
The dictionary defines the four-letter word snow as solid precipitation in the form of white or translucent ice crystals of various shapes. People living in Vilas County, home of the snowmobile world headquarters, might equate snow with the four-letter words good or cash, since their winter economy depends on it. Of course, not everyone always feels that way about it. My relationship with snow started several years ago when my husband Steve decided to build a cabin on our 20 acres of hunting land in Vilas County. As Steve and his brother Bill measured space for a building site, I challenged myself to walk the perimeter of our newly purchased land in February. What was I thinking? Not far along into my plunge, certainly not a walk, I found myself repeatedly sinking thigh deep in unending drifts of the white torture. Too proud to be defeated, I eventually made it all the way around. Maybe good was not the four-letter word for snow that day. Since then, Snow and I have become acquaintances, good friends, and sometimes competitors. My journal entries over the years attest to our growing relationship. Snow often gives away secrets. One March morning, we found brown pine needles and tiny pine cones splayed over the surface of the snow like confetti left over from the woodland creature's big bash. Another time, we followed the perfect tracks of a grouse until we found its takeoff point. Delicate wing indentations spread across the snow until the moment before it left the ground. Hundreds of animal tracks, deer, turkey, squirrel, the elusive snowshoe hare, and whoa, is that a bear print? They remind us that no matter how quiet the winter woods are, we are never alone. The wonder of winter snow in Vilas County is sometimes humbling. During my first cold, snowy deer hunting venture, I felt like an intruder transported into a silent black and white film. I entered the woods just before dawn. That, combined with the gray skies and black trees, completely surrounded my tiny island of blaze orange. I felt appropriately small and insignificant. Four-letter words are often associated with the profane. But during the crisp, clear days from December through February, I truly enjoy snow's unblemished beauty. It's then I know that my four-letter equivalent for snow is L-O-V-E.
Wendy Lutzke is a writer and museum educator at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org, and you can find us on Facebook. We play a Wisconsin Life feature every week at this time during this hour when we talk about Wisconsin culture. Coming up in our next hour, why do some people thrive in extreme environments? We'll talk about that and what we can learn from them coming up in our next hour. Thank you to Caleb Lado and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this hour. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.